Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage this early Wednesday morning. Coming to you live from the Cognitive Rampage Studios. Quite early over here, but not too early. Some of you just getting up, getting your day going. If you listen to this podcast at a later date, hope your day is going well today. It should post today anyway, so Wednesday. You'll be hearing it today as well. Enjoying a little coffee here. Don't worry, I won't sip into the microphone. This is actually Adam Does the News version, as I should have intro'd it when we first got live here. Being I am the only one here in the studio. Got to double check my sound. Sound is going wonderful. Got some news to share with you today as well. Some interesting stuff, some fun stuff, science stuff. That's why I call it the news you missed, because more than likely the news that I'm sharing right now probably skipped over the headlines and more than likely didn't see it. So some fun stuff too, as well as some interesting stuff, some oh my God stuff too. Try to cover it all. It's been a little bit, so I got some news backed up here. So we're going to cover some neuroscience has revealed something new. No more dialysis as well. Sugar cancer. Some facts about The Lion King, the movie that you may not know. I just found it to go, interesting. So I put that up there. Inflammation, motivation, and the last article I will be reading from is a portal to a parallel universe is what I'll be covering as well. So let's get it first started with inflammation and motivation. Something you may know, may not know, but chronic inflammation removes motivation by reducing dopamine in the brain. Why do we feel listless when we are recovering from an illness? The answer is apparently that low-grade chronic inflammation interferes with a dopamine signaling system in the brain that motivates us to do things. So, research carried out at Emory University explained the links between the reduced release of dopamine in the brain and the motivation to do things. Pretty wide open, right? Motivation to do things. And the presence of inflammatory reaction in the body. It also presents the possibility that this is a part of the body's efforts to optimize its energy expenditure during such inflammatory episodes, citing evidence gathered in their study. The authors also published an experimental framework based on computation tools devised to test the theory. The underlying hypothesis is that the body needs more energy to heal a wound or overcome an infection, for instance, both which are associated with low-grade inflammation. To ensure that the energy is available, the brain uses an adaptive technique to reduce the natural drive to perform other tasks, which could potentially drain away the energy needed for healing. This is essentially a recalibration of the specialized reward neurons in the motivation center of the brain so that ordinary tasks no longer feel like they're worth doing. According to the new study, the mechanism of this recalibration is immune-mediated disruption of the dopamine pathway, reducing dopamine release. The computational technique published by the scientists in this design to allow the experimental measures of the extent to which low-grade inflammation affects the amount of energy available and the decision to do something based on the effort needed. This could allow us to better understand why and how chronic inflammatory states cause a lack of motivation in other disease conditions as well, including schizophrenia and depression. Andrew Miller, co-author of the study, says if the theory is correct, then it could have a tremendous impact on treating cases of depression and other behavioral disorders that may be driven by inflammation. It would be open it would open up opportunities for the development of therapies that target energy utilization by immune cells, which would be something completely new in our field. To a point, it is completely new with the scientific implications here, but the idea of a diet and what we eat or how our body is inflamed, what it does, there's been some great research by Dr. Rhonda Patrick that has come out as well. You can certainly look Dr. Rhonda Patrick up, does a lot of research on inflammation. So the idea of linking that our body's being inflamed, either dealing with an autoimmune disorder, disease, fighting off infection, etc., that perhaps not only leading to those underlying illnesses or diseases or sicknesses, that this possibly could be a baseline for also things like depression, right? Because one of the symptomatic responses to depression, right, if we're looking at symptoms, is the lack of motivation to do things, things maybe you once enjoyed or things you typically would enjoy or somebody would that you just, well, don't care anymore, right? So it's already known that immune cells release cellular signaling molecules called cytokines, which affect the functioning of the dopamine's release neurons in the area of the brain called the mesolimbic system. Do bear with me, it's earlier, right? I'm going to have a cup of coffee in. This area enhances our willingness to work hard for the sake of reward. Now, if I go on to read this and it says that coffee causes inflammation, I'm going to be upset. And it would explain why the brain isn't functioning properly. I added that, all right? That's not in the article. Recently, it was discovered that immune cells also enjoy a unique capability to shift between various metabolic states, unlike other cells. This could affect cytokine release patterns in such a way as to signal the brain to conserve available energy for the use of the immune system. These facts were the foundation of the new hypothesis, which explains it in many terms of evolutionary adaptation. In the hypothetical early environment, the immune system, faced with abundant microbial and predatory challenges, needed tremendous amounts of energy. It therefore had its own mechanism to signal other body systems via the mesolimbic dopamine system to control the use of energy sources during periods when the organism was undergoing severe or sudden stress. Again, another link to direct stress here, right? So direct stress causing that. So modern life is relatively soft and less challenging. With less physical activity, low-grade inflammation is chiefly due to factors such as obesity, chronic stress, metabolic syndrome, aging, and other lifestyle illnesses. This could mistakenly cause the mesolimbic dopamine neurons to produce less dopamine. Lower dopamine levels in turn decreases the motivation for work by reducing the perception of reward while increasing the perception of effort involved. This ultimately conserves energy for use by the immune system. Previous studies by Miller, as well as other scientists, have shown that high level of immune functioning in association with low levels of dopamine and reduced motivation characterizes some cases of schizophrenia, depression, and other certain mental health conditions. The scientists do not think these disorders are caused by the low-grade inflammation, but that some people have these illnesses of hypersensitive to immune cytokines. Interesting. This could, in turn, cause them to lose motivation for daily living. So not everybody in the direct thing I was talking about. This is interesting, though. The scientists are currently performing a clinical trial on people with depression to test their theory using a computational framework. That's it for that. So the fact that they're studying that, right? So it may be linked to not everybody, but certain things. So the hypothesis needs more research, but just news you may not have heard, right? The idea that possibly inflammation of the brain and the body could be leading to the feeling of depression, not that you are diseased, not that you have some depressed disease, right? But I guess if the biology and the neurology is being affected in that manner, we could eventually call it that or link it to that. But just some interesting research coming out of the idea that chronic inflammation removes motivation by reducing dopamine in the brain. Now, a lot of the research, too, a lot of people tend to think that if you're feeling depressed, right, you take dopamine type, you're lacking dopamine in the brain. And a lot of research also points that sometimes dopamine isn't directly related to motivation, depression as well. So there's definitely some research that could argue back some of this, but what they're finding is pretty interesting there in the beginning. There are also foods and things that can cause inflammation in our brain and our body that certainly are linked to diseases. And well, since that, I'm going to get right into the next one. Sugar cancer, something you may know already, may not, but the inflammation may link to it. Drinking fruit juice and other sugary beverages is closely linked with cancer, according to a new study of 100,000 people. All right, so large study groups are certainly important, right? This isn't 10 people, right? So a long-term study of more than 100,000 people found a link between drinking more sugar, whether from juices or sweetened beverages, at higher cancer rates. The study controlled for other factors like exercise, family medical history, smoking status, age, and education level, suggesting that something about sugary drinks is inherently dangerous. A new study aligns with a growing body of evidence that drinking sugar isn't good for our bodies, something you probably already know. It's certainly been on the rise. And in case you didn't know, side note of fact, for many, 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 many years and decades, the FDA never had a suggested intake amount of sugar, right? So FDA recommended daily dose of certain things. Sugar was left off for a very long time. Now they've added that the recommended daily dose, get this now, the recommended daily dose is 25 grams of sugar, 25. That's it, 25 grams of sugar. So next time you're around something that has sugar in it, look into it, see how many is actually there. One soda is about four times as much, right? So there's fresh evidence that drinking sugar, whether in 100% fruit juice, soda, or sweetened coffee and tea, may increase your risk of developing cancer. A new study of more than 100,000 healthy adults suggested that regardless of who you are and how healthy your lifestyle may be, if you drink sugar, be it natural or artificial, you are more likely to develop cancer than someone who opts for unsweetened beverages. The results regarding fruit juices may be surprising because fruit juices has a healthy image. Many parents also believe that. I'm giving them orange juice. I'm buying them all types of apple juice, right? All kinds of juice. This is just as bad, parents, okay? So throw in a giant glass of orange juice or apple juice, grape juice, what have you, in front of your kid and thinking, well, I don't let them drink soda. Well, you're pretty much in the same boat as this, right? So the researcher here, Tovier, noted that when you compare the amount of sugar in serving of a fruit juice to a soda, the drinks are remarkably alike. Huh? See, there you go. I got backed up. So it shouldn't be a shock that juices might hurt our long-term health. They contain vitamins, a little bit of dietary fibers, and no food additives, Tovier said, but they also contain lots of sugar. The result of her study, which was published in the BMJ Today, suggests that regardless of other factors like how old a person is, what their family history may be, how active they are, how much schooling they've had, or even whether they are on birth control, people who drink more sugar tend to get more cancer. Just period, point blank, she's saying. The finding does not prove that sugary drinks cause cancer, but the association is significant, right? So causation, causality. This isn't the first time sugary drinks have been linked with bad health outcomes. Previous research has also suggested that drinking more juice increases a person's risk of death and up the odds that may develop heart problems, type 2 diabetes, and die from cancer. But this study is one of the first that aims to untangle the dangerous effects of sugar on the body from the consequences of weight gain, metabolic problems, and heart issues that are often a side effect of drinking sweet beverages. New study relied on data, that's what I want to get to, from 101,257 French adults who participated in NutriNet Sainte study between 2009 and 2017. So you got a good stretch of time there, about 8 years. Right. So the giant study tried to control for all kinds of health factors, which is difficult. Any of these studies controlling for factors. The authors accounted for people's weights and heights, exercise and eating patterns, education, family cancer history, and other potentially co-founding factors. The research then checked in on participants from time to time during the multi-year study, occasionally asking them detailed questions about what they ate over the last 24-hour periods. The scientists included all manner of sugary drinks in their analysis, carbonated, uncarbonated, soft drinks, syrups, 100% fruit juices, fruity drinks, sugar-sweetened hot beverages, milk-based sweetened beverages, sport drinks, and energy drinks. Then the researchers tallied who got cancer. According to their analysis, it didn't matter how much which kind of sugar people slurped. Those who drank just 3.3 extra ounces of sugar per day increased their risk of cancer by 18%. When soda and other artificially sweetened beverages were left out of the calculations, the data still showed that a person who drinks an additional 100 milliliters of juice per day, or 3.3 ounces, can increase the risk of cancer by 12% compared to someone who drinks less or no juice. These findings suggested especially strong correlation for breast cancer in women. I think the juice is a little more complicated than people realize. White grape juice and apple juice are very high in sugar, and that's essentially the same as drinking a soda, Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health director and nutrition researcher Vasanthi Melik, who was not involved in a study, told Science Insider, certainly the evidence linking juice to a number of obesity potential cardiometabolic health concerns may be more cautious with my kids about drinking cancer. So suggesting that, something you may have already known too, but hey, it's a good reminder to get that in there. So I'm going to keep moving on here. So covering, just as we did, sugar cancer, and covering inflammation motivation. So inflammatory foods and these things may, well, connect to motivation, depression, etc. No sugar in my coffee, by the way. So I'm at least following some of the research here, but I hope your morning's going all right today too, as well, this beautiful Wednesday, 7:55 in the morning, July 24th. All right. You know, sticking with the science side, I found this article to kind of go, wow. I mean, kind of, it's amazing what we can do mechanically with the body these days. So the article opens up with, no more dialysis. Scientists have developed a bionic kidney. A bionic kidney. Wow. Regular renal diseases management guidelines, including different drugs, treatment options for dialysis, are indeed very powerful and necessary. But there are times when we have to turn to modern technology. Dialysis patients can't live without the treatment, but their suffering is beyond imagination. Many of them must wait years to get a kidney transplant and live normally, with seemingly no other solution on the horizon. However, there's finally light in the dark tunnel. Scientists from the University of California at San Francisco have developed the world's first bionic kidney, which can replace damaged kidneys easily and effectively. The bionic kidney is a perfect replica of our kidneys. The artificial kidney consists of numerous microchips and is moved by the heart like a normal kidney. It is able to filter waste and toxins from the bloodstream. That is fucking amazing, people. I'm sorry. The project was unveiled by William Vanderbilt Fissels and Shuvo Roy from the University of California, offering renewed hope for millions of kidney dialysis patients. Now, some of you may be wondering, but what if the body rejects it? But the scientists assure that the chances of rejection are zero. Zero? Incredibly, right? That's crazy. That's amazing. Some teeth implants get rejected, but a bionic kidney? This is because the bionic kidney is made from renal cells. Oh, okay, wow. The first prototype is the size of the coffee cup and can balance the levels of sodium and potassium in the body while regulating blood pressure. This is fucking amazing, people. The project is wonderful news for any dialysis patient. In the beginning, November 2015, the scientists received $6 million from the Institute of Biomedical Imaging and Bioengineering, and it's safe to say that the money was well spent. The scientists have high hopes for the bionic kidney, and the lead researcher, Dr. Victor Gora, says that the device will be available for sale in only 2 years. Only 2 years. That's amazing, people. I'm sorry. I don't know if you know anybody that's on dialysis that has to suffer through that. I mean, that's amazing to think that we're coming up with little mechanical organs that we can put in our body. Now, I have to see the size of this coffee cup. The size of this coffee cup may be a problem. But, I mean, for people, though, that's serious. The waiting list for kidneys is insane, and so many people suffer from it. I thought that was just amazing news to share. Hope for some people in 2 years. This article is recent and came out a week ago. So maybe 2 years from now, looking around 2022, maybe around there, a little before if we're lucky, and some people have it. I can imagine the cost of what it might be. I can even probably show you what it would look like if you're watching on Facebook. So that's essentially what it would look like if you're watching live, or if you go back and watch this at a later date on YouTube, that's what that kidney looks like, connected directly to the heart. I think that's pretty amazing to be doing something like that, but wow. All right, to keep moving forward, no more dialysis, we've covered sugar, cancer, we've covered inflammation, motivation, we have covered, and let's say, let's have some fun, right? Let's have some fun. So you can be the person today that's walking around giving 20 facts about the original Lion King that you probably didn't know until you listened to Adam Does the News you missed. Don't know if this is news, but it's fun. I found myself reading it, so maybe you'll find yourself listening, right? It's just something to know, all right? Just some things to know, which I think are kind of fun. So let's move on real quick and get through these. In case you didn't know, 20 facts about the original Lion King that you probably didn't know. Number one, Sean Connery was Disney's first choice to play Mufasa. I wonder if that was before his Barbara Walters interview of smacking a female. If you haven't heard that, Google Sean Connery, Barbara Walters, and slapping a lady. It's pretty intense what he says, actually. So probably a good choice that Disney did not go with Sean Connery as the first choice to play Mufasa. The iconic opening lyrics, Nance Ngoyama Bagadi Baba something, I'm sure you probably know it, which stands for, quotes, the circle of life, literally translate to, there comes a lion, oh yes, it's a lion. All right, number three, Tim Rice, who co-wrote the lyrics for the film's songs, originally wanted ABBA to do the soundtrack. After ABBA declined, Rice asked Elton John. That was a great thing, right? When one door closes, something else opens, that's for sure. Number four, Can You Feel the Love Tonight was the first song Tim Rice and Elton John completed for the film. It was also originally supposed to be sung only by Timon and Pumbaa, in case you didn't know. Hey, if I get these character names right, I'm sorry, okay? Number five, Can You Feel the Love Tonight was almost cut from the movie because it did not fit the film's father and son theme. The song was put back into the film after Elton John, who wrote the lyrics, saw an early cut of the film and made it clear that it needed to be in the film. In fact, John said the reason he agreed to work on the film was to write a Disney love song. John, Elton John's got some power there at Disney. Number six, originally, Disney wanted Patrick Stewart for the role of Zazu. Not so sure that would have been as funny. Number seven, there are no real lion roars used in the film, right? No real lion roars used in the film. They were all done by voice actor Frank Welker, who created the distinct roars by growling into a metal garbage can. So nothing is real about the roars in The Lion King. Number eight, the first part of the movie takes place over just 2 days, from the part when Simba wakes up Mufasa to where he runs away after Mufasa's death. That's pretty quick in 2 days, in case you didn't know. Number nine, originally they had a sequence planned out where Scar tries to seduce Nala with a reprise of Be Prepared. That plot point was eventually worked into the Broadway musical, but removed from the movie. Number 10, real lions were brought into the studio so animators could study them for reference. They have a picture of a lion sitting in the studio so they could study them for reference as they were drawing them. I don't want to be in that office, right? No, I'm out. Number 11, Nathan Lane, Timon, and Ernie Sabella, Pumbaa, originally auditioned for the roles of the hyenas, Banzai, and Shinzai. All right. Number 12, in fact, is it Timon? Timon? Somebody say it, because I'm going to keep reading this poorly. In fact, Timon or Pumbaa were originally not in the movie. Simba, in an earlier draft of the movie, never runs off and instead is raised by Scar after Scar kills Mufasa. Imagine that movie twist would have been. He kills his dad, and then he takes him off. And then Scar was also going to kill Simba at the same time that he killed Mufasa, but he didn't have time because the pride showed up before he could, yes, quotes, break Simba's neck. Dark, I know. 13, the Scar-raising Simba version of The Lion King is the reason why Matthew Broderick was cast as Simba, as that version of the character was inspired by Ferris Bueller. Simba was supposed to grow up with Scar as a carefree goof-off kid, but he was now raised by his creepy, mean uncle. Wonder why they switched that. 14, before Matthew Broderick was cast, Ruben Aquino, or Aquino, the artist who animated adult Simba, wanted to give Simba a mane that looked like Bon Jovi's hair. After Broderick was cast, they made Simba's mane much smoother. Number 15, reportedly, there was a very dark alternate ending originally planned. Much of the final fight scene was the same, but instead, Scar defeats Simba by knocking him off the Pride Rock. Scar then dies, and he doesn't realize he had caught fire. Interesting. Definitely a better ending. 16, according to the film's director, Rob Minkoff, and the film's producer, Don Han, Scar and Mufasa weren't actually brothers. What? According to the film's director, yeah, so they weren't even actually brothers. They just made it seem like they were brothers. In an interview with Hello Giggles in 2017, the two said, while making the movie, we talked about the fact that it was very likely Scar and Mufasa would not have both the same parents. The way lions operate in the wild, when the male lion gets old, another rogue lion comes and kills the head of the pride. What that does is it causes the female lions to go into heat, reproduce, and then the new younger lion kills the king and then kills all of the babies. Wow, that's dark. Now he is the new lion pride, so normally it probably wouldn't happen, but it's Disney, right? Nathan Lane improvised the classic line where Timon sarcastically jokes about dressing in drag and doing the hula. Number 18, Mufasa was originally not supposed to appear again after his death, but he does. Remember when they do, Mufasa comes to Simba up in the clouds and says hello? That wasn't supposed to happen. The spirit scene was added because producers felt that Simba needed to see his father again. This was also the last scene created for the movie. Number 19, the 1993 teaser trailer for the film was the first time Disney ever released the entire scene as a trailer. 20, lastly, The Lion King is the best-selling VHS of all time. Now, I'm going to tell you a personal story about myself and The Lion King video. So being here in Orlando, where I live, my hometown, AMC Theater out there at what was Pleasure Island with the theater is where Lion King was released. Well, anyway, that movie had just been released. I was out at the theaters, and I started wandering the AMC theaters out at Disney. And as I was wandering the theaters, I found myself in an elevator. I went to the top floor, walked down some hallways, and then opened some doors, and I found myself in a boardroom. At the Disney movie theater, in this large giant boardroom where it looked like a bunch of rich guys and probably one or two ladies, since it was the 90s, were sitting in. And there was a VHS tape, there was a big TV there, and a VHS tape, yes, VHS tape, was sitting there next to a TV. That VHS tape said The Lion King. Now, mind you, had just released, right? Well, being the little shit that I was back then, I snatched that VHS tape and took it home thinking I had a copy of The Lion King of sorts. When I popped it in the VHS when I got home, what I found was I had a VHS tape of every single Lion King commercial cut they had made. And I guess in that boardroom, they were watching every commercial cut that had been made of the movie. So sorry, AMC, if you're missing that VHS tape. I don't know what happened to it. It'd probably be worth a lot of money today if I'd kept it. But all the commercial cuts, that was just a little personal story of me and The Lion King. Perhaps why I read that article, because I'll never forget that story at the AMC theaters at Pleasure Island. So moving on, that was the fun part. Sorry if you didn't like that and you're like, please, Adam, really, seriously, whatever. Sometimes you got to read the green story, man. Quotes green story, right? It's the kind of nice thing, you know, as you keep going, you know. All right, so let's get into the last two stories. I found this one to be holy shit, personally. Scientists attempting to open portal in parallel universe. Yes. Could 2019 be the year humans open the first portal to a shadowy dimension which mirrors our own world? Scientists, sounds like the beginning of some science fiction movie, right? Sci-fi movie. Scientists in Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Eastern Tennessee hope so. I'm not sure. Careful what you wish for. And have completed building equipment they are to test this summer, which may allow our first glimpse of a parallel universe, which could be identical in many ways to our own, with mirror particles, mirror planets, and possibly even a mirror life. If you've read anything or heard some things about physics, basically, in short, there is someone living your exact life that looks just like you somewhere out in the universe that will repeat everything that you have done and or is doing exactly what you are doing now and repeat it, right? If you can think about infinity over the entire time frame, right, there is that it's nothing, right? That everything is possible with the time of infinity, that someone else out there will live your life in a different universe exactly right now, doing it the same way. I'm talking about every single thing, this podcast that I'm doing, how I'm moving my hands in this podcast, what I'm wearing, the videos I'm reading or articles I'm, all of this with infinity is destined to happen again or is happening simultaneously. Just throw that out there. This is according to Leah Broussard, the physicist behind the project, who described the attempt to reveal a hidden shadow world as pretty wacky. The discovery of a concealed mirror. Oh, my mind's just freaking out when I hear that, right? The discovery of a concealed mirror world. See, my mind went somewhere else. I'm trying to read this. May sound like science fiction, as I just said, from the Stranger Things series, but it has been repeatedly suggested by physicists as a tempting means of explaining, many results in our lives. However, as yet, hard evidence such as a realm exists has refused to manifest itself. I am sorry I'm butchering this, you all, but as I'm thinking about it, my left brain is creatively thinking what this would mean, what it could be like, so I'm trying to stay focused, all right? One set of anomalous results and the ones which inspired the research date back to the 1990s when particle physicists were measuring the time it took for for neutron particles to break down into protons once they were removed from an atom's nucleus. Two separate experiments saw that neurons broke down at different rates instead of decaying and becoming protons at exactly the same rate as was expected. In one, the free neurons were captured by magnetic fields and herded into laboratory bottle traps. And in the other, they were detected by the subsequent appearance of proton particles from a nuclear reactor stream. Those particles fired out of the stream from the nuclear reactor lived on average for 14 minutes and 48 seconds, 9 seconds longer than those from the bottle traps. It may sound like a small difference, but it has troubled scientists. But the existence of a mirror world offers a credible explanation that there are two separate neutron lifetimes, and it could be that around 1%, 1% of neutrons could be crossing the divide between our reality and the mirror world before crossing back and then emitting a detectable proton. This is insane, people. Man, I say what I'm imagining right now is 200 years from now. If this is where the research is now, what's 200 years from now? The new experiment will fire a beam of neutrons at an impenetrable wall. On the other side of the wall, a neutron detector will be set up, which normally would expect to detect nothing. But if the detector does register the presence of neutrons, then the theory is that that may have gone through the wall. Wow, by oscillating into the mirror world, becoming mirror neutrons and reappearing in the universe, and more specifically, the lab in Tennessee. Wow, only the ones that can oscillate and then come back into our universe can be detected, Miss Broussard told New Scientists in June. Furthermore, the team will set up magnetic fields on either side of the wall, which they can alter in strength. It is hoped that certain strengths may assist the oscillation of the particles. Despite the TD theory, the team is playing down the chances of revealing reality's shadowy twin. I fully expect to measure zero, Ms. Broussard said of the initial test, but if they do detect a neutron on the far side of the wall, it could have profound implications. If you discover something new like that, the game totally changes, Ms. Broussard told NBC. The existence of a mirror world could also explain our universe's lack of isotope lithium-7, which physicists believe doesn't match the quantities the Big Bang would have created. The detection of high-energy cosmic rays, which come from beyond our galaxy, could also be explained by the existence of a mirrored world. Wow. They are too powerful to travel only through the observed universe, but if they had oscillated into the mirror realm and then back out again, it could explain why that is the case. That's too much. If you really could download that, go back, listen to this again. I'm going to have to. Sorry, I butchered it and barely reading. I probably made it damn near impossible for you to even understand what I was reading. But for those of you interested, that is a wild article. Independent.co.uk. Just search in Scientist Parallel Universe and you'll pull up that article. There's some other things connected to it that go a little bit deeper. All right. Now, to wrap up, Adam Does the News You Missed. We're going to talk about some neuroscience. Neuroscience. I like it when science links to cliche things sometimes that people tell you or things that you hear or possibly even memes that you see. But when science links it to it, I enjoy that. Neuroscience reveals this is how gratitude literally rewires your brain to be happier. And I'm telling you, I'm certainly a speaker for that as of presently. We often hear about the power of gratitude for creating a more positive and happy mental state. But did you know that gratitude literally transforms your brain? According to UCLA's Mindfulness Awareness Research Center, regularly expressing gratitude literally changes the molecular structure of the brain, keeps the gray matter functioning, and makes us healthier and happier. When you feel happiness, the central nervous system is affected. You are most peaceful, less reactive, and less resistant. And gratitude is the most effective practice for stimulating feelings of happiness. In this article, we'll share some of the research demonstrating that gratitude makes you happier, followed by some practical steps you can take to positively transform the molecular structure of the brain. Studies of gratitude making you happier. In one study of gratitude conducted by Robert A. Emmons, at the University of California, Davis, and his colleague Mike McCollum at the University of Miami. Randomly assigned participants were given one of three tasks. The participants kept a journal each week, with one group describing things they were grateful for, another describing what's hassling them, and the other keeping track of neutral events. After 10 weeks, the participants in the gratitude group felt 25% better than other groups and had exercised an average of about 1.5 hours more. In a later study by Emmons with a similar setup, participants completing gratitude exercises each day offered other people in their lives more emotional support than those in other groups. So you're more likely to help other people. Another study on gratitude was conducted with adults suffering from congenital and adult onset neuromuscular disorders, NMDs, with the majority of people having post-polio syndrome, PPS, compared to those not jotting down what they were grateful for every night. Participants that did express gratitude felt more refreshed each day upon awakening. They also felt more connected with others than did participants in the group not expressing gratitude. A fourth study didn't require a gratitude journal, but looked at the amount of gratitude people showed in their daily lives. In this study, a group of Chinese researchers found that high levels of gratitude were associated with better sleep and also with lower levels of anxiety and depression. Better sleep, less anxiety and depression, that's seriously healthier. Some compelling reasons to express gratitude more regularly. Three simple steps to becoming more grateful. Just to leave you with before we wrap this show up. If you've only got time to say one prayer today, make it simple words of thank you. I will certainly back that. Little transparency. I have found it difficult to pray as of late. And for those of you that hope that I'm some sort of cognitive person only that focuses on what facts and research shows, etc. No, I too am spiritual, in quotes. I know that word is loose for us, for many people. And what does that really mean? And you could walk me down some tyranny of words, research type thing of what that means, what it says, and make yourself sound really smart. But the truth is, you can't prove God doesn't exist. But I'm telling you, I feel that in my heart. So, and I have since I was a kid, probably the only reason I'm still alive today. But as of recently, I found myself being able to pray again. And over those last couple of days, I have had a profound change in functioning in my brain, in my sleep, and in my life. And I'm just telling you, that's just how it is. Now, you could turn this off. You could no longer subscribe to the Cognitive Rampage or call it what you want or will. But careful what you think is true or isn't true based on what you can say. I'm only telling you my personal experience. So three simple steps, one little prayer, and look, try it once, okay? Try it once. Get by your own human level of trying to judge yourself of what it means or what you know. There is no right or wrong way to pray. Just give it a shot one time, all right? I just urge you to do that. All right, this is worth keeping in mind as you go about figuring out your daily practices and routines. Here are three practical steps you can take to infusing routines of gratitude into your life. One, keep a daily journal of three things you are thankful for. This works first things in the morning or just before you go to bed. I will also second this one as I will share something with you here as I pull this up. Dun, 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 dun. Look at this. So what I am grateful for, look at that. Boom, right there. So what I'm grateful for, I read that in the morning. So I do this same thing. So I'm not just reading this stuff to you. When I was going through a pretty rough time about 2 years ago, I'd recently just got divorced. My whole life had been flipped upside down by my own choice. And I was dealing with it. I took these steps. I went back and began to process and place these steps in my life. So those things I'm reading to you, that prayer suggestion that they do, that they suggested there, I certainly went that route and I had a profound effect on changing my life when I went that way. So I'm just speaking from my own personal. And then I did this list, what I'm grateful for. I would read this list first thing in the morning and try to do it at night. But first thing in the morning when I was in that rough time, it really seriously helped me. I didn't wake up and go to social media first. I did this sometimes before I take my morning pee. I would pull this thing up and I would read through the things that I am grateful for. And as you go through that list, it really begins to set the precedent for you. I understood the links to our neurological functioning and what we are grateful for, etc. I went a few steps further too, as making certain lists of things that I wanted to do, things that I even wanted to buy. I went that far of making lists of what I wanted to buy and where I wanted to be in life, etc. It's certainly a good, and I'm a proponent for it is what I'm trying to say, okay? And I do it, so as I'm showing you there. Number two, make it a practice to tell a spouse, partner, or friend something you appreciate about them every day. That is healthy for both sides. Number three, look in the mirror when you are brushing your teeth and think about something you have done well recently or something you like about yourself. Again, now, my point of sharing this article is not to, you know, give you these things that you may hear that are cliche in counseling or from somebody else. It was to show you that it has been linked to studies in neurology, directly linked, that being grateful and showing gratitude daily can begin to change your mind, literally begin to change the function of your brain. And let people know that. And I know it may be hard and where you might be at in life or what you're experiencing, what you've been through, people you love are going through, etc. But sometimes imagine that it could always be worse, right? Whatever you're dealing with, try to start there and say, hey, at least I can walk, right? At least I can see, at least you can hear, things like that. Find whatever you can to be grateful for and show it that way. It has certainly improved my life back in that very, very hard time that I was going through years ago, making those lists, trying to be grateful and positive, something I continue to work on today as well. But, hope you enjoyed this podcast. It was a little longer than normal. Adam does the news you missed, but I had some things that were backed up. So sorry about the Lion King facts if you thought that was stupid, but I got to throw that in there. I read it, right? So what I do is I go through articles I'm looking to read. If I find myself putting time into it, I'll come back and put some time into it here with you all. But now you know, right? Neuroscience reveals a much more healthier functioning brain and life as well. Now you know some Lion King facts you can share with people today. You know there's bionic kidneys that have now been created, maybe available in 2 years, that no longer will people have to rely on dialysis. Something you already knew, that sugar possibly could be linked to higher rates of cancer. You also understand now that inflammation may be the reason for your lack of motivation and somehow be linked to depression and things as well. So watch those inflammatory foods that you eat, things like alcohol, etc. Every body, in quotes, are different. So, and you also know that maybe one day scientists may open up some portal to a parallel universe.
Ooh,
ooh. All right, y'all. Hope you're having a wonderful, beautiful day. It's 8:30 in the morning here on Wednesday. I'm out here in the beautiful, beautiful land of the sun, sunny Florida. About to get my day going as well. Just want to share some news with you all today. We have a really interesting guest actually coming up on the Cognitive Rampage podcast next week. That will be on Tuesday the 30th. The Cognitive Rampage podcast will be back with Kathy Kirk. Applied spirituality is what she's coming on to talk about. I said I wanted to know what exactly applied spirituality meant. So a link to some science research application types for the quotes word spirituality. So next Tuesday on the 30th, we will be live with her. Let's see, this Sunday we'll have another He Said, She Said episode. I have about two or three comics lined up to bring onto the LMAO podcast and the Fight Life show that also airs on the Cognitive Rampage. We have two episodes up of that now. Eddie Truck Gordon was the recent appearance, ex-UFC fighter, winner of, I want to say it's, I can't remember which contender series, not contender series, tough series. Anyway, and also Light Burley. Light Burley was on the Fight Life podcast. Interesting fellow, man. I love that guy, Light Burley. One of the leaders, if you will, and founders, practitioners, teachers of the 52 Blocks, a style founded in prison in some urban communities. Really interesting podcast to listen to on the Fight Life. But the Fight Life will be back. I'm about to make a trip over to the now famous Fusion XL Performance Gym, where fighters like Jacare, Mike Perry, Julian Williams, Hannah Goldie, all train out of. Philip Rowe, that's a name you will be hearing, I promise you, shortly on the UFC circuit. But yeah, so a lot of good fighters coming up to the Fight Life. So all five shows on the Cognitive Rampage Network are off and rolling and going live. So thank you everybody for tuning in. You can subscribe on YouTube, where this video, if you're watching live, is about to go to. Always go to the Cognitive Rampage Facebook page, like and follow there. I haven't been live. I typically don't go live anymore on the Cognitive Rampage Facebook page. I typically record the podcast and post them on Facebook, YouTube, etc. But, well, I wanted to go live today. So we are live today, but you can, again, follow, like on the Cognitive Rampage Facebook page. You can subscribe and listen on iTunes, where we have about 200 and something thousand subscribers, 250,000, just over that. I've been doing this for 6 years now. So thank you to all the loyal listeners, subscribers that, have been with me through the last 6 years. As you probably know, much about my life, but hope you're also taking care of you. Find us Instagram as well. Follow back. I'll take care of you if you're sharing some good stuff out there. Cognitive Rampage. Go to the website, adamlowry.com, L-O-W-E-R-Y. Twitter, adamlowry.com. Search Cognitive Rampage. You can find anything out there like that. So love you all. Hope you have a beautiful thing. Remember, be grateful for some things today. I'm grateful for you all listening, grateful for you all sharing, grateful for all the subscribers out there. Remember, it actually affects your brain. So hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. Love you.